Hey, top of the morning to you, Deesa. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that His mercy flows in the morning.
Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Deadline. I need about seven of you. I see some have already done it. I need you to post Romans chapter 12, verse 2. While I go over to the blog talk, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I need about seven people. Post that. Then Juliet Hooker, Jessica, I need you to call me on the blog talk. Jessica, post the blog talk number on Spreaker before you go over. And then I want to talk to Natasha on the blog talk. I'm going to teach you something this morning. And I want to teach you something that's going to carry through your life in Christ. I'm going to teach you something that's going to make you strong in the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock you. Praise God. So be prepared this morning, because I'm going to show you another witchcraft tactic. I'm going to expose it that was pulled on me. And I thank God I'm coming out of it. And I want to thank the people on this TED line, second and third shift, that pray for this ministry. But you know what? I heard this song. Now, all you religious people, super religious, this might hurt your ears. So you might not want to listen to it. But I heard this song, and it really hit me. And as the people I asked to come over to the blog talk are coming, I want you to listen to this song. I really, really like it. Now, it's a secular song, and it's a country song. I want you to hear it. I want you to hear it so bad, I'm going to play it twice. But I want you to really hear it.
Can't catch a breakers, the ashtray changers. I'm gonna make it one day, yes. The Hail Mary chance takers.
Everybody get your drink up, raise them up high. Cause this time,
this one's for the underdog. The good guy.
Blind believers,
everybody
gotta get your drink up, raise them up high.
Cause this past, this one's for the underdog.
By country western singer that happens to be young, happens to do country and western, and he just happens to be African American. So you know what he's singing about. It took him 10 years scrubbing pots, doing janitorial work. But guess what? His testimony is, he never lost his faith in God, and he never stopped loving country music. And guess what? He got a Grammy this year.
The can't catch a breakers, the ashtray changers. I'm gonna make it one day, yes. The Hail Mary chance takers. Everybody get your drink up, raise them up high. Cause this time,
this one's for the underdog. The good guy. Our dreamers, the barely made it teamers, the half full covers, the bounce back uppers, the blind believers.
Everybody get your drink up, raise them up high.
Cause this
time,
this one's for the underdog. The good guy.
Keep it on, keep it on.
shall be first, and the first shall be last. Praise God. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, tell Juliet to call back whenever she get off the phone from Colombia. That is Colombia, South America, Ted Line. You see, while the devil be trying to distract me with all this ridiculous garbage, I thank God for him giving me the ability to remain focused, to not lose focus. And I think I learned that in the Army. I think the Army taught me complete the mission. Complete the mission. Okay? And one of my favorite ministries that the Ted Line supports has now taken up their own Mission Impossible, and that is crisis. They go out in the middle of crisis, and it's Crisis Response International. That's one of my favorite ministries, and I've been working with them a long time. Praise God. But I want to open this mic up. Jessica, your mic is open. Juliet, your mic is open, so y'all got to be quiet in the background. Juliet?
Good morning.
Good morning. Ted-Line, you must not ever, good morning, Jessica. You must not ever allow the devil to take your eyes off Jesus. You must not ever allow the devil to take your focus off Christ. No matter what the Christ is, you bring it under Christ Jesus. So yesterday, I got this phone call from Jessica. And she said, Juliet's brother is in trouble. And I said, and she said, it's very serious. I said, okay, ask Juliet to call me. Juliet, you on here?
Yes, Dr. Shepherd.
Jessica, you on here?
Yes, ma'am. I actually said Juliet's brother is dying.
Well, I didn't want to say it, you know, but that is what he
says. Yes.
I did not want to say it, but that's what you texted. Juliet's brother is dying. And I said, tell Juliet to call me now.
Yes.
Something like that. And Juliet, you call me. Is your brother dead or alive?
He's still alive. He's alive, and he will be alive in Jesus' name.
Amen. And not only is your brother alive, but how many souls were saved yesterday in the process?
When he was in the deathbed in the hospital, one of the nurses and one of the administrative ladies, she tend to be a Christian, like God ordained everything. It was so perfect. Like, I was amazed the way God ordained it, because the lady who answered the phone, he was a Christian, and he got a compassion on my brother. She found it through WhatsApp in the camera, and I said, that's my brother. And she said, okay, I have been praying for him and all this stuff, and don't worry, sister, he's going to be great, he's going to be fine, just keep believing. And I said, well, I'm believing despite of what I'm seeing, because I saw a scenario of him being practically dead. The doctor says that all his organ was compromised, and this ulcera explode, it broke, I don't know how to say in English, and it comes like he was defecating through his mouth, through every hole that he has, because he couldn't go to the bathroom. And he got peritonitis, he got pneumonia, his immune system, it was bad, because on top of that, he has a very disorganized life. Through pain, he coped with drugs and all kind of things. So this was like the third time that this is happening to him in the past 10 years. God has been having mercy, but this time I said, Lord, I don't know what are you going to do, but until he has a breath of life, I'm going to believe you. And the scripture that the Lord gave me at that moment was 1 Corinthians 15, I think it's 55 to 57, that says, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strain of sin is the law. And I said, but the last verse, like 57, but thanks be to God, which give us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, you die for him, have mercy, have mercy. And the lady is, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I said, amen, amen. But I said, like, my faith was testing at that moment. I was shaking. And I said, I remember Dr. Erica always said to us, like, the only thing that moves God is faith, not a tears or nothing. And I had a bad habit that I always say, like, I'm crying to God. But it's not that I'm crying with tears. It's just like, it's a way to say, like, Lord, please listen to my prayer, blah, blah, blah. And and we just praying. And as the Lord was leading me to that, the doctor says, oh, you've been religious, you know, your body is delicate and we can't do this. And I said, listen, doctor, God, if my brother has the breath of life and he's speaking, I know he's going to talk. So you just need to allow me for him to talk. And he said, well, I don't think so. Call later. And, you know, the other lady, the administrative lady, Sister Isomunia, something like that, she said, don't worry, sister, he's going to be fine. So later she called me through WhatsApp and said, they took the tooth out of him and he's okay. He's in pain. He's still in danger, but he's conscious. And I said, okay, tell the doctor that I need to talk to him. She said, no, we're going to go through it with the phone. And I said, okay. So she went on the phone and put the speaker phone, and I started sharing with him. And I asked him to, you know, I said, we love you despite of whatever you have done. And I ask you for forgiveness and for, you know, because we tend to be judgmental when a person is like that. And we have the right as well, because we go through all the trauma, the betrayal, the bad actions that affect us emotionally as a family. But at the same time, there's other part that God asked us to extend grace, because when a person gets to that state of mind, yes, there's an act of will, but also there is pain that led people to drugs, to alcohol, to sexual immorality, to every bad thing. So the lady, going back to the place, the lady said, okay, sister, hurry up, because I got to go to my office. So I start praying for my brother, and I start quoting this Bible verse and praying for him. And I said, you need to reconcile with God. And he started reconciling with God. And there were all these nurses and people. They were like, yeah, me too. I want it. They were speaking because they were in intense, like it's a urgency, but it's not like the hospital here. It's like a lot of beds, and my brother's bed was the number 22. So there was a lot of people there. And the lady is like, yeah, sister, pray for them. And I said, okay, who want to receive Christ? This is what he did on the cross. I said in Spanish, Juan 3 to say, de tal manera amó Dios al mundo. In English, I forgot. You know, God so loved the world that gave his only begotten son. Do you want to receive the gift? Yes. They were like, yeah. We're speaking like that. And I said, okay, you just have to repent. Do you believe this? Yeah, this. Well, I pray and ask all the questions. Do you believe that Christ is the Son of the living God? Yes. Do you believe that he died and rose again on the third day? Yes. Why was the purpose? To forgive you for your sins, to give you a new identity, to bring you back, you know, for when you die, you have a new love in Christ. And they say, yes. So I just hear, like, Jesus, I love you. Come into my heart. They were all speaking like that. Oh. I don't know how many people. I don't know if it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't know. But this lady in the other side, she's like, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm like, what is going on? So the doctor seems to come, and he's like, what is going on here? So she said, like, you don't understand. And he said, okay. He's getting better. He's speaking. So after all these things, he went back very bad. And I said, Jessica, and, you know, I was praying with Marcos. I was praying with another friend. And I was shaking. And I said, I want to call Dr. Erica, but she has 3 days for this, praying for the spouse. So I didn't want to take it for the focus. And I know mm-hmm. I'm saying this with all the respect. She said, she always told me, I'm praying for you to trust God. I'm praying for you to just lean on God. And at the beginning, I'm like, yeah, you want to have something or somebody to be there for you. but at the end, is the truth. You know, a good teacher, somebody who plants a seed in your heart, and in your heart, it just is bear fruit. You know, the word, it did remind my spirit. And for many years, I do that, but I was wrestling between the reality of the things that I see and faith. And faith is just five letters, but it's so powerful because without faith, we cannot do anything. By faith, we receive Christ. By faith, we move. By faith, we are alive. By faith, we walk and we live in His promises. So I say all these needs to do Rhema. So Dr. Erica asked Jessica to call me to call her. Oh, no, Jessica told me, did you call Dr. Erica? And I said, no. She's going to get upset. You have to call her. And I said, Jessica, she's going through this, and, you know, the things that are working good, so I'm not going to take the fault because she's fighting a battle. I'm going to trust that. I'm praying. You pray. Don't worry. And she's like, okay. But she went in the back and called Dr. Erica, which was the biggest blessing. Because when Dr. Erica, I spoke with her, I shared everything. She said, okay, thank you, Jesus. We were rejoicing for the souls, and we were rejoicing for my brother was alive. But the Holy Spirit started prompting her, and she called me back. And I said, my brother, it started getting bad again. And I called her because my brother, I told her that we prayed for him and all the stuff. So he said, call the lady. She said, call the gringo to pray for me, which is my friend Mark. Like, he was praying, and he was feeling much better. It was like an up and down. And then she called, call the lady. So I called Dr. Erica, and he started praying for him. And something amazing happened. Like, the doctor at that moment, he said he had only like 3-4 hours to define, because it was a very critical condition. The bacteria was very heavy. All his organs was infected. And there was nothing that we can do just to wait. But at this moment, he was translated to another hospital. So I didn't know nobody in this hospital. So I was under God's grace. Like, I had the comfort part that I have the lady that I can communicate. But in this other hospital, I didn't have no one. And I said, Lord, it's only you and me. And that's when Jessica told Dr. Erica, and Dr. Erica, we contact each other. And the amazing part of the big puzzle, like every little part, like sometimes we think like one part is missing, but no, it's not missing. God has everything under control. We just need faith, because she came and, you know, she's so calm, and the way she speak, and hallelujah, praise the Lord, beautiful. And I'm like, God, I'm trusting you. I'm believing, but I'm listening to this, and I believe. I still going to believe. I was Ezekiel 37, prophesy over dry bones. You will live. And Dr. Erica said, keep believing. And she prayed for him. My brother started throwing up after that. So the doctor says he's going to get worse. And because he was throwing up and the wound was opening, because he has all his chest under his belly button open. So imagine a person with that thing open because they're cleaning. And they cannot close it because they have to be cleaning that stuff, huffing and with pain. So he's throwing up, and Dr. Erica called me around 6:30 or 7, and she said, let me know what is going on. I called my brother. He said, he's throwing up. He doesn't feel well. Well, Dr. Erica come, and God revealed some personal things about my brother. He repents. A lady that was there that she didn't know God. I don't know how she gets there, but it seems like they have a relationship. God used her too. And I don't know, Dr. Erica, if you want to take over from there.
You led the lady to the Lord.
Oh, yeah. Because Dr. Erica said, if Elenia, put your hands in the chest. And I'm in my head, you see, we can't put God in a box, and I'm not saying every case is the same, but Dr. Erica prayed for her and prayed that God heal her heart. She started crying, and she started like, I feel different. I felt something warm. My brother is like, yeah, I want this, and yeah, I acknowledge all my sins, and he recognized some stuff. But I said, Dr. Erica, I need to lead her to Christ. She doesn't know Christ. if you know the background of this lady, okay, this is unbelievable. This is ghetto, ghetto, very bad situations, both of them. And I'm like, God, take the foolish thing to combine the wise. I think I'm saying good. Dios cogió lo vil del mundo para avergonzar al sabio. That scripture, I don't remember the scripture, but it's like God took the foolish thing, really, to slap us in the face and say, I'm in control. I can do whatever I want to do, however I want to do it. There's no 1 + 1 = 2 or 2 + 2 = 4. It's however I want. So I pray with the lady. She received the Lord. And after that, Dr. Erica, she called me. She asked for forgiveness because she was very nasty, her attitude. And I'm like, what is going on? She even blocked me. I couldn't reach my brother for 2 days, for a day. Because she was upset. And I'm like, what is going on? She said, I don't know why. I feel just this anger toward you. But now I know it's the devil. Oh, my God. Oh. My eyes have been opened. And I'm like, tell Mrs. Chef, Mrs. Erica, that she prayed that God healed my heart. And now I see. I was angry. I was upset. And I was mad at you. I didn't want you to talk to your brother. And I said, well, I didn't understand, but I was mad at you as well. So if you ask me for forgiveness, I have to ask you for forgiveness too, because for some reason there was an anger raising in my heart against you because the way you were treating me. But now I know, like, it was the enemy. But I'm going to turn it to this Bible verse, the iron with sharper. And I said, God, it was sharpening you and sharpening me to expose our heart. You know, it was rooted on fear. It was rooted of anger, frustration. So it has been like God has been working like the whole complete package. And the lady is like, please, just, you need to teach me and, you know, about the word. And I said, yeah, we're going to do Bible study on the phone and we're going to trust God. We're going to find a church for you. And, that's all, Dr. Erica.
Well, wait a minute. You forgot the most important part to me anyway.
What?
Your brother doesn't speak English, but after I prayed, he spoke to me in English and said, thank you for praying for me.
Wow.
In English. He only speaks Spanish, but he talks in English.
Oh, God. Yes, he said in the morning, he said, thank you, Jesus. And I said, Dr. Erica, he doesn't speak English. And then he said, praise the Lord. And I'm like, he doesn't speak English. So then at night, he's like, Dr. Erica, I love you. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm like, what is this? He doesn't speak English.
See, brothers and sisters, yesterday I said, keep the main thing, the main thing. The main thing is Jesus. The main thing is you and I becoming a demonstration of a manifestation of the power of God on earth. Now, you forgot to tell them, Juliet, where we are and where your brother is. Where is your brother?
Okay. I am in New York. Dr. Erica is in... in Georgia, in Atlanta. And my brother was, the first call was in Turbo, Antioquia. And then the second call, it was in Monteria, another town that they have to translate it there. So we are
in what country though?
In Colombia.
and Jessica
is in Texas, and Mark is in Texas. So this is two from Texas, one from Dr. Schaefer over there, and me in New York, and my brother in Colombia.
And my part is that I heard the music, and I knew, because I knew Juliet had said she didn't want to speak up. She said, I'm taking this to God. But when you started playing the miracles, and I heard the words, the dry bones come to life, I said, oh, Lord, it's for Juliet's brother. And she had said the 24 hours. I didn't know about the 3 to 4 hours, but I said, oh, no, God's moving now in the healing, in the miracles. You have to reach out now to Dr. Erica. That was just, we have to know God's timing and hear his voice when And I just wanted to add that because your music is very prophetic and people really need to listen to it. I love it. I mean, I have my playlist with your playlist since I've met you, Sister Erica, and I just thank God for that. So,
and you write about that music. God gives it to me every day. I write down what I'm supposed to play.
Yes.
Yeah. I need to say something. I was asking God for confirmation in my brother. I said, until he has a bread of life, I will keep praying. And, you know, and my friend Marcus says, you have to continue pray. Focus on the word of God. That's it. We're just going to trust that. And I said, okay. So I said, I need a confirmation because I have been praying Ezekiel 37. And when Jessica pointed, you know, like, you have to call. And I was listening to the songs and the testimony that Dr. Erica was saying the day before. I was like, oh, my God, this is it. This is it. This is confirmation. And, you know, everything unfolded when Jessica asked me to call Dr. Erica and Dr. Erica asked me to contact her. You know, like, everything just worked. And I want to say
something.
I
didn't ask you. I demanded you.
Yes, I didn't want to say that word because I didn't want to sound like you know. But yes, she said, like, you have to go. And I'm going to say the word that she said in the day. She's going to get mad. And I said, no, she's not.
If he dies on her watch.
I said, no, she's not, because I'm trusting God. I'm believing God. I'm this. And I'm almost like fighting with my flesh. But there was I have a peace deep, deep, deep in my spirit, man. But then sometime when the circumstance come, and I said, it shaked me a little bit, but then I got to go back in the word. And the word is so powerful that it's just amazing. Like this Bible verse in Hebrew that says the word, I'm translating to English, Spanish to English. La palabra es como espada doble filo que penetra y tiene las intenciones del corazón. The word of God is like a two-edged that goes and discerns the spirit and the bone and the flesh and cut the bone. Let me look if la palabra de Dios.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12.
Okay, let me look. Hebrew 4:12. I got it here in English. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And that part, I said, wait a second. It can break the thing, and it's a discerning of the thought and the intention of the heart. I said, okay, send your word. Jeremiah 33:6 says, you send your word and heal and cure them and give them abundance of peace. And I said, he needs to have peace. I need to have peace. My man needs to have peace. And you're going to do it. You're the shalom peace. You're the bread of life. You're the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. You're the breath, the air that I breathe. You're every beat of my heart. And I said, Lord, you say to Moses, Moses says to you, show me your glory. I don't want to put you in a box. I really want to see the supernatural in everything. I just want to believe everything. I don't care about, and I'm not saying this without not a lack of respect. I do have respect for God, but what I mean is like, I don't care about this demon. This is my faith is what is going to take us to the other side and make us stronger and to see the supernatural, to believe the unseen, to you know, God did so many, Jesus did so many miracles, like he spit on a piece of dust and on the ground and put it in a man's side, and he saw. He sent a man to shower in a pond. I don't know how to say that in English. Jessica, help me. And this man, to extend his life, he did crazy, amazing things that just slap the face of every religious people that do not believe in the supernatural.
Hallelujah.
We can't put God in a box. We have to believe. We have to believe. If we believe, everything is possible. I know there. We have all different journeys. My journey is different than you, but at the end, the only word that joins us all together is faith in God, that lead us to the cross, that lead us to believe that he's the Son of God, that lead us to believe that to the heart of the Father, that the Holy Spirit can speak to us. We have to submit our soul to our spirit man, to our spirit man to submit to the Holy Spirit so he can speak the truth of his word. In other way, we're going to die with the lies of the enemy. The doubt, it's like our mind will be like this apartment that is rented and the tenant is destroying. Doubt, unbelief, fear, anxious, all these kind of toxic emotions that ruin our health, things that trigger us. So I'm sorry, I get excited now. I'm sorry.
We're on fire.
Thank you, Jesus.
You see, brothers and sisters, the main thing, the devil is a trickster. He is a trickster. You know what I found out? Now, oh boy, what happened here? What happened? Oh no, I can't do that right now. That's okay, I'm still here. But let me tell you something. I found out yesterday that a woman, through a lie, because of a lie, had almost 200 women praying against me. I'm over here trying to serve God if I can. And this woman, because her spirit and my spirit did not agree, and I did not come into agreement with her on nothing, and the devil used this woman to set me up with the intent of taking me out of here, so that this woman could be like Simon the sorcerer, because she wants to be a great one. She wants to be a great one. Her flesh tells her she wants to be a great one. So I've been going through, but I always learn in Christ, when you're going through, go on through. When you're going through, go on through. But keep the main thing, the main thing. The main thing is our faith, our trust, and our confidence in our Lord and Savior. Now, this is not all that's happening during this week here. Now, this person came into agreement with a bride of Satan against the anointing on my life. She came into agreement with the bride of Satan, the spirit. I'm talking spirit. And the devil gonna use them to take me out. But you know what? Steve Brock wrote a song a long time ago. And the way the song goes, you all know I'm tone deaf, but I want you to hear this. And I'm gonna open up Natasha's mic, because he tried to hit her with this same thing. But brothers and sisters, you must remember, when I'm on this tape line, I'm talking to about 30,000 people now, over 30,000. So out of that 30,000, somebody needs, and I hear it every day, what I have to say. But if you are so messed up in your own head, if you're so narcissistic that you think everything is about you, you need to be delivered. Don't you know I know every demon I teach about is not for everybody on this deadline? But it's for somebody that's going to come on either the first ship, the second ship, or the third ship. But the most important thing, keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is Jesus. The main thing is your faith in God manifested through the love of Jesus and brought into manifestation by the power of the Holy Ghost. Look, I am here in Dalton because God put me here. God sent me here. Everything I have belongs to Him. Everything I am belongs to Him. And everything that I touch belongs to Him. So how could the devil think he could destroy it? It's amazing to me. You know why the devil will think that? Because the devil don't know God. And whenever the devil finds a place in somebody's heart, like Juliet is talking about here, they can't see straight. They can't hear properly. They can't function properly because they have something operating through them that opposes God. And the best thing they can do, like somebody called me up yesterday and said, Erica, when you came up there to Dalton, that's what they said. They said, we remember that You took the oil and rubbed it all over yourself. I rubbed it all over my face and my hands. And they said, it could be something is operating and something came into you. And you know what? Something did. But something will never overrule the power of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost rule and reign supreme in me. Supreme in me. God is a sovereign God. I love him sovereignly. I trust him. I don't have no choice. I submitted my will to him. I don't have a will anymore. For 10 years, I prayed, Lord, tear down my will so that my will become your will and your will be done on earth. I prayed this every day for 10 years. I don't have a will. I willingly surrendered my will to Christ. So that's why God knows, and some of you got to get yourself in a position that no matter what time, no matter what day, no matter what, God can use you, because he knows you're not going to tell him no. He knows you're not going to say after a while, unless he says after a while through you. So then I get this stuff, you know. We believe that something happened to you from the people up there. I sent him an email back and said, please understand this. Please understand this. I stopped allowing anybody to touch me months and months ago. God stopped them, and I obeyed what he said. He stopped them. And I put that scripture on my desk. Lay hands on no man suddenly, and be ye not a partaker of another man's sins. You know why? Because I'm very protective of you all on the tear line. I ain't got no problem telling you to bind up anything from me. Especially if I have an inkling I've been hit. Especially if I have an inkling that something has transferred. I'm open with this. Why? Because I want you to know. I want you to know. Juliet's prayers. Praying for her brother. Everybody on the whole place got touched by God. Why? Because Juliet, unbeknownst to any of you all, laid down her life. Was it last year, Juliet? Are you still here?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Was that last year when you went on that fast quietly by yourself to yield your life to God?
Yeah, you told me a few years ago that I needed to go to a fast 40 days and train myself, and I did not want to do it, but I did it, and it was really hard. Then I did another one, and I said, Lord, I want what you want. I want to align my will with you, and I want to see what you see and see through your blood and kill my flesh, die my flesh. The seed to bear fruit has to go in the ground and die. And that, yeah, yes, yes.
And I remember, when she did that. And you know what else Juliet, God told me? He said,
yes.
Remember, you gotta do this with Juliet. I said, okay. He said, remember that time. I bet you forgot all about it, Juliet. Remember that time you prayed with that lady and she died?
Oh, yes, yes. That was really,
yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
That hurt you. Mm-hmm. That was a trick of the devil. But guess what? You are completely delivered from that. God has completely built you up in his faith. And you know what, Juliet? It is time for your ministry to come forth in the name of Jesus. And I already know what I'm supposed to do to help you do that.
Thank you.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
People don't understand. When you say you're going to walk with God for real, you got to be real. You got to be real with God, because your life is real, and God is going to be viewing you, and God views us through the lens of reality, because God sees us through the blood of Jesus. So as far as God's concerned, it's already done. You're already saved. You're already sanctified. You're already been glorified. That's how God sees us. And it is so important, brothers and sisters, that you receive a revelation of who you are as God has designed and purposed you to be. I am so thrilled. They don't know how long I've been knowing you, Juliet. I didn't just meet you yesterday.
No, and we meet in a, can I say faster?
Yeah, yes.
Dr. Erica was on Omega Man Radio. I didn't know her or nothing. I just hear a lady, sorry, I don't say this in about where she was like, yes, freaking like this, casting out demons. And then she stopped and she said, by the way, there's somebody bleeding on the nose and somebody sick with the blood pressure and call in. And I'm like, I never suffered a blood pressure or nothing. My blood pressure always has been normal. But I was being attacked by witchcraft. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's me. So I text Shannon. Shannon, that's me. Call. At that time, I was very shy. I said, no. Oh, my God, I'm embarrassed to call and say these things. He said, call. And I said, just tell the lady that it's me that prayed for me. And Dr. Erica said, tell her to take the blood pressure again. So my blood pressure started coming to normal, to whatever it has been all my life, 120 over 80, like that. So then she said to Shannon, tell her to give me the number, and I'm going to pray for her. So she called me, and I gave the number, and she didn't call me. We were not friends, but she prayed, started praying, and I started listening at that time to the program. I think it was at 5 o'clock that morning, that time. And you said, Juliet, I am going to pray. I call you in 3 days. On Monday at 5 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock on her. Can you believe on her free day and her day off and my day off that I never sleep or something? She called me, Juliet, wake up. And I'm like, oh, is everything okay? She's like, is your head falling? Is this? And I said, yeah. You are under severe witchcraft. You got to fast like Jesus did with water. And I said, are you kidding me? 40 days water? No way. Nobody can survive that. I do heavy job. No. She said, you have to, and you're going to see the breakthrough. And I called her for prayer. She said, if God tells me to help you, I'll help you before you have to fast. And I said, this lady's out of her mind. How can somebody live with 40-day water only? And it take me 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019. It was at the end of 2016 when you told me. 2000, mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I'm just like the people of Israel in the desert, walking, trying to get out, and I'm not obeying God. I'm going to lay down my life. And I was talking to my friend, and he's like, Juliet, that's crazy, but you have to obey. And I said, okay. I said, I'm going to go through the fast. I said, Lord, first scripture, the seed to bear fruit has to go in the ground and die. And I said, oh, I'm already dead. I'm struggling with hunger. The first fast, I was crying. Lord, help me. I can't stand up. All the detox system, my body headache, and I'm seeing food, smelling everything. And it was a battle in my mind because we Colombian people, if you don't know, we like to eat and we cook good. And we cook really good meals. So I'm like, my mouth was watering every smell trigger. But I drink water, and I drink water, and I couldn't focus on prayer at the beginning. I'm not going to lie. I was more just the killing the flesh with the food. And something broke inside of me. And that, like, I think, like, on the 15th, 16th day, I was just having a little energy. I was feeling better. And that got unfold everything that was going to me through me. Second fast, Dr. Erica called for a second fast I think it was, January 18 to February, no, January 9 to February 18, and I was going to finish my fast, and I said, you know what, I'm going to the other one, and the second one, breakthrough in my faith, in everything, like, it's different, like, I want now something different. I don't want to be just having normal walking or not. I want supernatural. I wanna see what God sees. I have the eyes of Christ, so like I wanna see what God sees. I really wanna see through the blood. I wanna see people with pain through the blood of Jesus, like they are bound. I don't know if I'm gonna be able like to be doing crazy things, but I just don't like just the simple gospel. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Juliet.
Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tell me so. I'm pointing people to the Bible because, one second, Jesse. The Bible is in the Word of God is where you have everything. If you believe, that's what Jesus said. If you believe, that's the requirement. Believe. And if we have lack of faith, we just have to ask Him because He will give it to us. It says, a faith like a mustard seed. Imagine that little thing. That little tiny thing. That's what only thing that God is requiring for us. So I'm working in that. Sorry, Jesse. Tell me.
No, I was just going to say that you had a breakthrough with the fasting in January 2019 when you started to see your mom, the transformation through your mother.
Oh, yes. But, yeah, my mom, because that's part of my testimony, so they will not understand. I will have to go through the beginning, and it will be like an hour.
Well, no, I just meant that's when you started to say, wow, my life is really changing. This is working. I remember you were so excited, and I said, wow, this is awesome to watch. So I just wanted to add that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I wanted so many truths. I want to understand many things. And, you know, my family were very, like, unidos. We stick to each other, even if we fight, and we always, you know, we fight. We are all different. It's like five days of the fingers. Every finger is different, but, you know, it holds the hand. So we are like that, but we have, like, issues that we never resolve in our childhood, in our life. You know, we just put makeup and keep going, never talk. Mm-hmm. So I always was the one. I always was the one who was talking, and I want answers, and my mom couldn't give it to me. And, you know, I was finding for help. I find a pastor, and he was counseling my mom. I wanted you to know, my mom is a woman of faith. I inherit that from her. Where she used to work, and I'm going to make this point because I don't want it to seem that she's bad or something. Where she used to work, the only gospel that she preached was Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I have lack of nothing. And that's how she grew up, with just that Bible verse. Everybody mocked her because of her accent, because we're from an island called San Andres, and, you know, people there speak broken English. Well, my mom, I got it a little bit, and they mocked her, but she was there, and she was a Christian, so everybody was against her. And she said, the Lord is my shepherd, I have lack of nothing. If they persecute me, God is going to rescue me. If I am in trouble, God give me peace. If this and the, even if she fights the battle face to face. And today, normally, when she retired from that building, every person, the manager said, leave the Bible or Nella there because we need to read that. And everybody, one by one, gets saved. They are pastors. They are preachers. They are teachers. They are, you know, they're working with even a lesbian woman and a gay man. They give their life and they transform. And she didn't go like, God, them on the, she just said, this is it. You have to cling to God. Read the word. Read the psalm. And that was the only thing that her story, not every story is the same, but that's her journey. And and that's it. So I think I inherited that from her. But with all these things, my mom shared that she didn't have love for me as daughter. And that hurt me deeply. That took me to the ground. I was angry. I said, oh, my God, there's nothing that I can do to be loved. I want that love. Why she doesn't love me? I was mad at God. I was mad at my mom. I was like, why you put me in her belly? And now I need to find that she doesn't love me. And the pastor said, there's going to be, you know, a talk, and you need to forgive. And I said, of course I'm going to forgive. But listen, you just hit me with a hammer. This thing hurts. How can I talk to her? So he said, you know, we're going to find a moment for you and your mom to talk. But I said, you know what? No, my mom don't owe me that debt. That debt is from the enemy that blind her. I'm just going to go in opposite. As painful as it is, it's like somebody putting lemon in your eye, and I'm just going to honor her, you know, continue to honor her. But this time not with anger. I said, Lord, kill the anger. Kill the frustration. Kill this lack of identity that I have. I say my, and I always see my life like a puzzle. And I put a little puzzle and I say, identity in Christ. That's what I've been fighting. If I don't know who am I in Christ, if I don't know where my value is in Christ, how can somebody love me? How can friend love me? If I don't love myself, how can I love somebody else? No, this is it. So God, help me. Help me with this. And my mom, I start calling her, and I said, Mom, I love you. She doesn't say a word. Mom, love you. She's like, okay, I got to go. And I said, love you. Bless you. Okay. So she stopped talking to me like for 2 months, and I was really sad. But I keep calling her once a week, not every day like before. And that's when the breakthrough, she called me, and she was very nice. And I know she's trying. But anyhow, this is a work of the Holy Spirit only. We have to have an identity in Christ, and only the Holy Spirit can reveal this to us. Nobody else. We can cry. We can wink. We can jump. We can do whatever. Only the Holy Spirit can do this. Nobody else. He is the one who speaks the truth in our inner man. That's why we need to surrender and eat the Word of God, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack, morning, noon, and night. Every single moment, the Word of God pierces our. It's like a hammer that breaks the stone, and the heart needs to be broken for Him to be to mold it again in His identity. Okay, I'm talking too much.
That's okay. Natasha, are you on this line?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Okay. I could not get off this line without bringing this, making this point clear. How long do you work on your book?
I've been working on the book since 2015.
Okay. How many hours you put into your book?
I couldn't even fathom to count. It's been countless. To be honest with you, I feel like I've wrote the book probably like 10 times, just trying to organize the thoughts and get the flow and, you know, really hear. It's always been the same information that the Holy Spirit had given me. But just, you know, just trying to get it organized in a way that it would flow correctly. I've spent countless hours. It's really been, other than my children, it's been about the book.
Okay.
Since 2015.
Okay, who told you to write the book?
The Holy Spirit told me to write the book.
Oh, the Holy Spirit is God, right?
He is the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm. So if God is the one that directed you, led you, instructed you, only the devil would send somebody after the book has already been copywritten, the ISBN has been issued, to tell you what they send you?
They sent me several messages claiming that I had plagiarized the book. And the accusation was based off of the words that I use. So, you know, the title of the book is Living in Crazy Peace, but the subtitle is The Stepping Stones to Emotional Healing and Wholeness. So they had questioned how I came up with this phrase, stepping stone.
Wow.
Yeah. And this person is someone that I really respect. We know you've talked about this before on your journey. The Lord uses people to input into your life. Now, for them, you don't know the motive. You never know the motive behind it.
Right.
But if He uses it for good, and I'm one of those people that if you said, Tasha, I need you to study Nehemiah, I'm going to go do it. your motive may be completely different. You may just want to get me to do something with my time and get me out of your way. But I'm going to go study it, and I'm going to do it wholeheartedly, you know. And so she was one of those people who gave me a seed, and I took that seed, and I said, Lord, I want to know about this. Like, I need to see your face. I really push. But the motive was different. Their motive was not, you know what I'm saying? Like, some people think they're just going to give you a cookie and you want to throw it away. But I actually took that cookie and ran with it because of where I was in my life. But anyway, so they questioned the fact that I used this term stepping stone because they had posted it 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
So 2 weeks ago, they had posted something on their Facebook page about stepping stones to some other thing. It wasn't about peace. It was something else. I mean, and we all know that stepping stones is a general term. You use it for the stones you put in your garden. You use it for, you know, people can say 10 steps or they'll say stepping stones too. Like, it was not, this was something that literally came from the Holy Spirit. I'm talking hours of sitting before him trying to say, you know, asking the Lord, what do you want me to, how do you want me to write this book? I am not a writer by nature. I am an artist. I draw, I can paint murals. Me sitting down to write a book was like an experience within it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not something that I've ever thought about doing. So I knew it was of God. And so when the title came, it just flowed. And it's, mm-hmm. the title has never changed from the day 2015 when he gave it to me. It's always been the same title. And so then they start sending me messages that they wanted me to confess that somehow that I took it from them. And because, once again, because of my respect and honor for what they had. See, thank you, Lord. Remember, we were talking about, you know, in the book of Nehemiah, we were talking about in Esther, and we were also talking about how there are certain people who they start off in a faith one way, and then they get captivated by something, you know?
Right.
And it's very difficult, like when we were talking about the oil, it's very difficult to see men and women of God do something, or God uses them for a move of God, and then you watch them fall, but they don't see it themselves.
Right.
They don't see that there's something rotten in the heart right now, and you need to pluck it out.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was, you know, I am the one, how can you say, I'm the toddler in the group. You know, I'm the baby still, because they don't see the spiritual growth. They just see that, okay, well, I taught you things. Who are you to tell me? This is where we have to stay humble. And I've seen many, many, many good people of God come into the faith, do works of God. God used them to save lost souls. And somewhere in there, that pride gets in, and they're on another level. And where we said the last will be the first will be the last, this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing this whole, like, people that's been in this faith for 20 years. This is a woman who's been on the front line for 20 years. And now she's mm-hmm. questioning my motive on something that had nothing. Where is your discernment?
There is none. There is none.
Right.
Only a fool will fight against God. And I said it, and I will say it again. Only a fool will fight against God. And you know what? Yes. God says it. I didn't make it up. The Bible says a fool says in his heart that there is no God.
Mm.
And then their actions correspond to that scripture.
Yeah.
What these people are doing, they're being used by Satan. I'm not saying they don't love God. I'm just saying they got demonic fog in their brain. And they need
That's right.
Be delivered. Because they are not able to discern the things of God. You see, that discerning gift is powerful. We're supposed to be able to discern the things of God, the things of the spiritual things, the things of God, the spiritual things of the devil, and we're supposed to be able to discern the works of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where the problem is. But go ahead. How did you overcome How'd you overcome it?
Well, I'm sorry, you said, I didn't hear the end part.
How did you overcome this attack? That was a straight up attack.
Oh, yes. Well, that attack happened the night before yesterday morning when you came on. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit is in the group. He's in the room. He's on the chat line. Because that morning when you came on, you put the music on, and then I got up, and the Holy Spirit had me walk into the master bedroom. I just start shouting. And in the shouting and in the praise, he said, I'm going to seal this wholeness right here. And as we, the whole tagline message yesterday, it just broke everything. It was as if, I will tell you this, if this would have happened to me 5 years ago, it would have destroyed me. I would have been doubting, like, oh, maybe I was wrong. I would have, that devil would have tried to put me under the submission, as you would say. And yesterday, it was like, no more. No more. I will not come under submission to the enemy. No more. I don't care what form you come in. Because, see, I've gotten past the point where, you know, you can see the enemy coming. You see the easy things, those easy sins, the things that's blatant, the blatant sins, the blatant enemies. But it's the ones that love you, the ones who stood beside you, the ones who prayed for you. When the enemy creep up in that house, those are harder to discern.
Right.
But what the Lord showed me, and this too was a part of the book, that when we come into the faith, when we walk in this walk of righteousness, there has to be this self-examination. I wonder, you know, if we would apply what the medical field applies to examining the heart, you know, get a heart check, heart examination every year. We need to do that. Because sometimes you don't even realize that something's creeping up. Dumb soul wounds. Somebody hurt you last year. You still carrying an offense. It will spread through the house. Like they're talking about this virus right now. That's what's happening. We all are accountable to each other in that way. The
yes.
one thing you do reflects the whole body of Christ.
I'm loving this headline this morning. I'm loving this headline this morning. Brothers and sisters, what we're trying to share with you is this. In all of this, Jesus paid the ultimate price so that you and I could have a direct and intimate connection with God our Father, Jesus Himself, and God's own Holy Spirit resident within us. But brothers and sisters, if you haven't already, what you hear from these people right here, they changed their viewpoint. They changed their view of reality so that now their viewpoint of reality is from God's perspective. Yay! Did you hear me?
Yay! Jesus,
their
that's Lord.
Their viewpoint of reality is from God's perspective. And that's where God's trying to get you. What you are listening to is blessed people. They blessed. Juliet is blessed. Jessica is blessed. The devil fighting them like H-E-L-L. Natasha is blessed. The devil fighting them like H-E-L-L. But you know what? Hell can't affect them. Hell can't affect them because they don't live in hell. They don't abide in hell. They don't think in hell. They don't act in hell. And they don't live in the reality of hell. You listen to people that love God and they're living in their reality from heaven's perspective. Lord, be patient with us. We know you're not through with us yet. Brothers and sisters, pray. I thank you, Juliet. Your brother is healed by his stripes. You know that. I thank you,
Amen.
Jessica. got to go through, you got to keep going through. And I thank you, Natasha, because guess what? Stones
what?
Come out of mountains. Stones come out of mountains. You hear me this morning?
Yes,
stones come out of mountains, and so do gemstones.
Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Oh, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. God is not through with me yet. Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. patient with me, because God is not through with me yet. Be a little patient with me, because God is not through with me yet. Now when the Lord gets through with me, when the Lord gets through with me, I shall come forth just like pure gold.
Can I stand one more time? Some of you just don't like me because you don't like me. I have never done anything to you, but you just don't like me. I'm not angry with you about that. I'm asking you, please, if I'm not all you think I should be, if I'm not as deep as you think I ought to be, you know why?
God is not through with me yet.
I'm begging you.
I just got that text. You got a text from your brother?
Yes, he just was texting me, asking me, please tell little Erica to prepare for me. I feel much better, but I want her to pray more.
Okay, so we could do that.
Yes.
Praise God. We will do that. But I want to pray this morning. From right now, I want the chair line to come into agreement with me. And I want to pray for you, Jessica and Natasha, and anyone else on this chat line that identified with what you said this morning. Natasha, did you have anything else to say?
No, ma'am.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay. Brothers and sisters, I think Carmen said it better than me. He said, I'm feeling saved, delivered, healed. So my prayer this morning, you notice I didn't pray when we first came home. I didn't. Father God, this morning we lift up Juliet's brother, and we thank you that you're healing him. We thank you that you saved him. He got the perfect healing first. And I want you, God, to bless Shannon, because Shannon always had faith that Juliet's brother was going to come into the kingdom and that he was going to be used mightily of God. And Lord God, I want to lift up Jessica, because you all, Jessica catches a lot of H-E-L-L just from working with me. Believe me, she catches it. She never complains. She always keeps a cheery atmosphere, attitude. But one thing I believe, and nobody could ever make me not believe, Jessica know God for herself. And we all got to know God for ourselves. And Lord, I'm going to lift up Natasha. Because when I first met Natasha, I knew she had that same old school Pentecostal Holy Ghost fire baptized spirit. Because I know that spirit. I got it myself. God's funny. It's plenty of people on Spreaker. It's plenty of people on this blog talk. Ignite their fire. Increase their faith.
Yeah.
Help them to understand it ain't about how many screws go in the piece of wood. It ain't about the brick and mortar of the building. It's about all of it. All of it. Lord God. So we don't want to miss none of it. Your word says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and that perfect and that acceptable will of God. I pray this morning, Lord God, that you would open up the eyes of our understanding, that we can grasp the reality of heaven on earth. And that our reality will be viewed from your reality, God, from your perspective, God. And I pray this morning, just like the apostles prayed, Lord, increase our faith.
Yes,
increase our faith this morning. Yes, whatever level of faith the hearer is at this morning, increase our faith. Give us skill, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Thank you.
What am I asking for, oh God? Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we need more of you. Give us more of you. Give us more of you. And God, I pray that you will pour your spirit out upon this earth.
More, God.
It's all about you, Jesus. We need more of you. And I thank you for working on our spouses through the anointing in us.
Yeah, that's good.
Some people's spouses are quiet, some are loud, some are rageful, but God, give them reality from your perspective. Your reality has to become their reality. Make our reality your reality. Change us and transfigure us. Just like he transfigured Jesus in Matthew 17. He was transfigured right before his disciples. Transform and transfigure us. Give us the revelation of who we are as you have purposed and designed us to be. What am I asking for, God? Save us, deliver us, and heal us.
I know.
One day I called her, I asked her to come up to my office and talk to me. She came and she had she got a concealed weapon permit. She had her pistol in her pocket and she had her hand on her pistol the whole time she was there. Now, I'm an old soldier. I looked at the lady. God let me see through the spirit her hand on the pistol. And the devil tried his best. He tried his best. Why did she come with the pistol? Because she was afraid of me, but it's not me she was afraid of. It was the Holy Ghost. So she thought if she freed her gun and keep her hand in her pocket on her gun, that if I approached her, she was just going to pull it down and shoot me. The devil had ordained for me to get shot and die that day. I looked at the pistol, I looked at the gun, and I kept right on saying what I had to say. You can't even die before your time. The devil can't even kill you before your time. Ask me how I know. Been there, done that. This is Dr. Erica Shepherd coming to you from the mountaintop, Jesus Believers Church, under heaven. And I got to tell y'all something about the open heaven. You see, God sent me up here because there was an open heaven here in the spirit realm. Had nothing to do with a person. Because God taught me a long time ago, wherever I am, the heaven is open. Wherever you are, if you're a spirit-filled believer, the heavens are open unto you. But you got to bring heaven down to you. See you tomorrow if the Lord say the same. Nope, Pastor Michael tomorrow. I see you on Monday if the Lord says the same. Brothers and sisters, this whole thing, I've been trying to teach you, share with you my walk. Because I ain't no extraordinary person. I'm just a woman with faith in God. That's all I am. And that's all he requires and expects you to be. And then we take our faith and put it together with another person's faith, and we got unshakable, immovable faith on earth. Hey, I love Jesus. Don't you love Jesus? How can we do it? How can we do it? It cannot be done in the flesh. It cannot be done in the flesh. It cannot be done if you got fear. Fear, false evidence, appearing real. Fear. It's not of God. And it's not by my might, and it's not by your might. It's by a supernatural manifestation. When the spirit in you, God's Holy Spirit, connects with God's Holy Spirit, and then you got what? Holy Spirit power in action.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Somebody give me praise. Pierre, God is healing you now. He's going to restore your mind. He's going to give you your mind back. And you've already experienced it coming back. It's going to come all the way back because God is healing and restoring Brother Pierre. Somebody give me praise.
Alone.